Good afternoon, everyone. I almost said good morning there because I think it's still almost morning where I'm from. I'm actually here from Brisbane, Australia. It's my third Ignite event over here in New Zealand. It's coming and speaking, and it's amazing how good this event is. Everyone's so enthusiastic. Everyone's so bubbly and cheerful. Everyone wants to get into the technology, as opposed to if I give a session back in Australia, you know, everyone's sarcastic, really not interested. You know, this is identity. Check out this awesome feature. Oh, yeah, it's all right. To make sure everyone's in the right room, let's just see. I'm not going to be able to see many of you, but how many people are here to hear about identity? Yeah, it looks like you're all in the right place. We're going to talk about identity, in particular, what you need to know to be in the Microsoft cloud. As always, with anything cloud-related, this is a snapshot of technology right now, so by tomorrow, no doubt, that will be out of date. My details, my name is Mark Rhodes. I'm a Premier Field Engineer at Microsoft, and I specialize in Azure Active Directory. Should anyone want to get in contact with me after the presentation, you can feel free to contact me on mahod@microsoft.com. So let's talk about our agenda for today. My goal here is to give everyone kind of the training they need to have to be able to deploy Microsoft Cloud Identities successfully in their organization at the end of this session. So by the end of this session, everyone should know the difference between, say, the cloud identity model and the synchronized identity model. And they should know the difference between the synchronized identity model and the federated identity model. And by the end of it, everyone should be able to go away and deploy Azure Active Directory Connect and install any one of those scenarios in their data center right now and get their identities up into the cloud. If that's not what you're after, this is probably not the right session, so I hope everyone's in the right place. I'm also going to make some recommendations, too, on why you would pick particular models, because there's a lot of confusion around which model is going to suit best for your organization. So let's give you the information you need to pick the right deployments. So the first thing is, what is Azure Active Directory? It's a comprehensive identity and access management cloud solution. It combines directory services, advanced identity governance, application access management, and a rich standards-based platform for developers. And it's available in three editions, free, basic, and premium. Now, if you came and saw me last year, you know I went on quite a bit onto the premium features. We're not going to go into those this time. Azure Active Directory is the central point for all things Microsoft Cloud Identity, with the exception of, say, existing standalone identity stores such as LiveID. We're not going to go into that either. That's an unrelated topic. And why would you store identities here? Has anyone got an idea? Why would you store an identity up in Azure Active Directory? Well, so you can use it, right? For single sign-on? Yeah, you could do it. Well, let's break it down even further. If you're going to access Office 365, what are you going to sign on with? You need to have an identity up in the Microsoft Cloud to do that, right? You can give guest access to things with live IDs or with another organizational ID, but if you're going to use the services inside your organization, you need to have Azure Active Directory and you need to have identities stored in that identity store. Azure Active Directory is the core of the Microsoft Cloud. It is where your corporate identity is going to be stored, and it's going to be the backbone of the hybrid identity infrastructure you're going to need to supply services to your organization. All your identities for services must live in here to work. Office 365, as I said, has a heavy dependency on it. And it's not just Microsoft services that have those dependencies. Using some of the premium features, you can now sign into software as a service applications, such as Dropbox, Amazon, Salesforce, using your corporate identity, which has been synchronized up to the Microsoft Cloud. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are three core models that we're going to talk about today, and the first of which is the cloud identity model. Right, this is very, very simple. This is where your identities just live in the cloud. You don't have anything on premises. You don't have any user accounts, such as Active Directory accounts. You just have another username and password stored in the cloud. The next one is what we call the synchronized identity model, which is where an agent is pushing your identities up into the cloud. And the third one is the federated identity model. And it's easy to get those two confused, but we'll go through it in a lot of detail. The federated identity model is just like the synchronized identity model, except on top of the synchronization, you have federation services in the form of ADFS. So we're going to talk about the cloud identity model first. This is the most simple one. It's just another username and password that your administrator, that your IT users need to remember. For instance, you might have a domain up in Office 365. For the demo purposes, my domain is mroads.net, and I'll just gonna stick with that for now. So mroads.net is up in the cloud, and I've got admin at mroads.net as a cloud identity that I can sign onto. Now, it's got no correlation with anything on premises. It's just another username and just another password that I've got to remember, which is really the downside of it. Because who needs another identity to manage? Probably nobody. What are the server and service requirements? You don't need any servers, right? This is up in the cloud. You don't need any SSL certificates because, again, it's all up in the cloud. And you don't need any SSL certificates for encrypting communications between servers. And lastly, all you really need to do, and this is actually optional, this step, is a domain added to Azure Active Directory or Office 365. Now, that's only optional because it doesn't make sense to get email on an address such as mod272526.onmicrosoft.com. That's not going to be convenient. At mroads.net makes a lot more sense to get emails on, so I've got that added in there. Let's move on to a more interesting model, the synchronized identity model. And this is probably going to be the model that most organizations are going to be wanting to use, at least for the longer term. Identities are synchronized up to the cloud, and again, this is not federation. In the synchronized identity model, it's much like the cloud-only model. However, in this case, the sign-in experience will be this. The user goes to sign in to a resource such as Office 365. They're immediately going to be redirected from Office 365 to an authentication prompt. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room will have seen that authentication prompt. It's a nice HTML page with, you know, a big strip on the side with a username and password. You put your username and your password in there, and that username and password is checked against Azure Active Directory. And if it matches what's stored in Azure Active Directory, you're allowed to sign in, and you can proceed back to the resource where you're checked for authorization. So you've been authenticated but not authorized at that point. Behind the scenes, what's happening there is an agent is pushing identities up into Azure AD. And this contains any relevant attributes that you might need for your identity. Maybe your UPN, your email address, your first name, your last name. Now, if you wanted to, it can even contain your password. Now, I say password in air quotes because your password is never actually synchronized over the wire. We'll go into that in just a second, but how does it all work? There's an agent sitting on a server somewhere. That could be DirSync or AAD Sync or AAD Connect. Has everyone heard of those terms? Or is it first time for anyone hearing those terms? Okay, great. It can also be Forefront Identity Manager or Microsoft Identity Manager. And as I said, you can push your passwords up to the cloud. Now, how does this work? Because a lot of people are quite worried about the idea of putting their passwords up in the cloud. Well, it works like this. They're never, ever transmitted in plain text. Right? In fact, not even a reversible encrypted method of storing your password is transmitted over the wire. What happens is, inside Active Directory, right, you've already got your password stored in there and a hash of your password stored. A hash is a one-way mathematical function. Right? It's nearly impossible to reverse a hash. So what happens is Active Directory has already produced a hash called an MD4 hash, which is stored on your Active Directory domain controllers. That hash is going to be taken by the agent, which in this case is, we'll say, is AAD Connect, and it's going to be hashed once again with a different hashing algorithm. In this case, it'll be SHA-256. Now, the result of any hashing algorithm is called a digest. We're going to take the digest, which is, you know, a double encrypted, effectively, one-way encrypted digest, and we're going to upload that into the cloud. Now, what use is that, you might say? Well, think about it this way. We've now got a one-way function that we can test your password against. So when users go to sign in, they type their username in. They type their password in. We can capture the password at that point and send it to the first hashing function, like an MD4 hash again. Then we can send it to an SHA-256 hash, which is exactly what has happened to upload it to the cloud, which means, in theory, if the passwords are the same, they'll have generated the same hash. And we can compare those hashes together or compare those digests together, sorry, and if the digests match, they're allowed authentication. Does that sound like a pretty good way of getting around the problem of uploading a password to the cloud? For me, it does. Okay, so let's move on to choosing synchronization tools. The first one, obviously, is DirSync. Now, this is still currently linked to in Office 365. In the admin portal, if you go on click on directory synchronization. Now, none of the features in DirSync are unavailable in the more recent versions. So there's no good reason to go with DirSync if you can avoid it. Which brings us on to the next version, which is AAD Sync. AAD Sync has the same functionality as DirSync, except more on top. It's got the ability to do synchronization from multiple forests instead of a single forest. In addition to Active Directory, you can do synchronizations from LDAP v3. You can do synchronizations from a SQL server. That one still might be in preview. It allows you to do things like selective OU sync with the existing user interface in the setup. You don't need to go through and do all this customization of management agents. You can just click through the portal and you've immediately, click through the interface and you've immediately managed to filter down to a particular OU. You can do some transforming, selective attribute sync. So if you want to say only synchronize users to the cloud if they meet this attribute, and that attribute might be an extension attribute or a group membership. You can do that. It's very easy to do. And it also allows you to do some basic transformation of attributes within the user interface, which is a big step up, meaning if you have a particular format you need to get into the cloud, you can build that format yourself. And lastly is Azure Active Directory Connect. Azure Active Directory Connect is going to be the primary tool to onboard user accounts to Azure Active Directory. Now, the Express settings, if you just go into Azure AD and click Express settings, you can be up and running in a couple of minutes. Right? I would hazard against that because I'll explain why in a minute. But if you needed to, you could get things synchronized very, very quickly. It provides the installation and configuration of password sync and ADFS. It's not just the synchronization engine. This does the ADFS component for you. And all future investments will only be available in Azure AD Connect. Right, so it makes sense to go to the most recent version of the tool if you're implementing this. Now, should you have an older version of the tool? For the most part, you can install Azure AD Connect straight on top of your existing tool set, and it'll pick up the changes in the database, any customizations you've made, and bring them through to the new version. Right, so the upgrade process is, in theory, very easy to do. I haven't seen any problems with it, but I'd still do a backup first, just in case. Sorry, where was I? Back onto synchronization. What are the server and service requirements? Well, you're going to need at least one on-premises. And when I say on-premises, I mean it could be an Azure server that's part of your domain. Right? As long as it's a domain joined machine, you'll be fine. Server, where you're going to install the synchronization agent. You don't need any SSL certificates. You only really need those for ADFS. And again, the domain is going to be needed for this one. You're going to need a custom domain to add in, otherwise it doesn't make much sense. You could synchronize, but again, you don't want an email address of mark.rhodes@mod272526.onmicrosoft.com. How does it all do this? Well, it does it through a very, very simple wizard, which sets everything up for you. That's effectively what AAD Connect is. It's a wizard that helps you to install AAD Sync and any federation tools. If you want to, you can go ahead and hit the Express button and it gets installed straight away. Now, as I said, there's a caveat there, and the Express button is that if you click the Express button, you can't come back and customize later. So if you need to customize at a later point, you need to uninstall and reinstall. So even if you're going to want to do the Express setup, I say hit the Customize button, leave all the settings vanilla, and click Next through it. And that brings us on to the federated identity model, which is the most interesting model out of all of them. This is also called single sign-on. This is where your authentication is effectively controlled strictly by your own infrastructure. Now, how many people here have set up ADFS before? It's a bit of a pain to set up. Anyone say that? Or at least time consuming? Yep. I think it's a bit time consuming, but especially when the alternatives are to get it done in less than 15 minutes. Could anyone here set up ADFS infrastructure in less than 15 minutes? No? All right, I'm going to try to do that in this session. So. All right, so it's extremely simple. It's a GUI-based deployment. No PowerShell's required at all. Right? Even to do the federation with Office 365 or Azure AD, you don't need to enter any PowerShell. And it consists of a few roles. We have an ADFS role, which is just ADFS installed and doing what any ADFS server does, providing a federation endpoint. We've got a proxy role. And again, that does what any proxy server does and provides a proxy endpoint usually put out at a DMZ or something like that, accessible over the public internet, to proxy requests from the internet to that ADFS server. And lastly, the third role is you really need a synchronization server. Both of those last two options require a synchronization server. So at the minimum, you're probably going to need at least three servers. You're also going to need to know a little bit about DNS to set this up, because you need to set up split DNS. So I think I'll go into a bit more detail on that later. If not, I'll come back to it. So how does it work? Well, a user goes to access a resource, in this case Office 365, and the resource responds by redirecting that user back to an authentication source, in this case Azure AD. And as soon as you hit Azure AD, you put in your username. When you put in your username, the instant you hit tab or you click off, a bit of JavaScript inside the page is going to pick up the fact that you've entered a username such as danj@mroads.net. And it's picked up that that mroads.net is a federated domain. And when it does that, it goes immediately off to Azure AD and says, what's the endpoint for this domain? Where do I go and talk to? And it says, well, the endpoint is, in this case, adfs.mroads.net. So it redirects the user straight over there. Now, if the user is on a corporate domain and they're signed in to a workstation, sorry, if they're on a workstation joined to the corporate domain and they're signed in with the domain creds, they're going to be redirected automatically, almost transparently, to their authentication service behind the scenes, and all you see is a bit of a flicker, and they'll be signed in. That's why it's single sign-in. If you're outside of the corporate domain or off the corporate domain, you get a different experience. What you're going to do is you're going to be redirected to a proxy endpoint, which is a nice, pretty HTML form, right, instead of the ADFS server. That proxy endpoint asks you for a username and password, which you'll have to put in, and once you put in, you get the same experience pretty much. You get a cookie out of, or a token out of it, which gives you a cookie, and that cookie is passed back to Azure AD, and that's allowing you to sign in and access resources. Server requirements. You're going to need at least the sync server, and at least one federation server, and at least one proxy server. Now, I don't ever recommend one federation server and one proxy server, because if your identity is important enough for you to be deploying three servers, it's almost certainly important enough for you to be deploying five servers and a load balancer, or two load balancers. So my recommended configuration would be one synchronization server, two ADFS servers with a load balanced endpoint, and two proxy servers with, again, a load balanced endpoint. Right, just to make sure that no matter what, your identity is up and working. There are also some DNS and certificate requirements. You're going to need public and private DNS entries. The public DNS is going to point to a public IP address for your proxy servers, right? Whatever endpoint you've assigned, load balanced or not, it needs to go to the proxy servers. Whereas internal to your network, the point needs to go to your ADFS server. So in my case, adfs.mroads.net externally points to an Azure VM, which is my proxy server VM. Internally, on my internal DNS for mroads.net, I've got an entry that points it to adfs.mroads.net straight to the ADFS server. So does everyone understand you're going to different endpoints depending on where you're coming from, right? And that's how you get that different experience. And you're going to need an SSL certificate generated by a trusted certificate authority. Now, if you're too cheap to get one from even GoDaddy or someone like that, you can use Let's Encrypt. That's a free SSL certificate. I've used it in this case. It's only good for 90 days, but it'll automatically renew if you get set up properly. So you really do have two options when you deploy ADFS in this situation. You can do it the hard way, or you can do it the easy way. The hard way is spinning up all those servers, installing the ADFS roles, installing the proxy server roles, setting up the endpoints, setting up the certificates, establishing the trust with Office 365, and then doing all the testing and load balancing and make sure it all works. Or you can click through a wizard. One wizard that sets it all up for you. I know which option I'd pick, and that's going to be AAD Connect. So let's get into that. Okay, first thing I want to show you is, this is Azure AD. Now, I realize that some people might not have seen this because this only really went live a couple of weeks ago. This is the new portal for Azure AD. Now, as you can see, if I go in here and I just click Users and Groups, and I go down to All Users, you can see I've got really nothing in this tenancy. Right, nothing's in this Azure Active Directory. I've just got an admin user and an on-premises directory synchronization user that was from a previous test run that I've done. So there's nothing in there. So I'm going to go back over to my sync server, and this is where I'm going to do everything. You'll notice I've already just double-clicked on this Azure AD icon here and installed it, and this is immediately what comes up, which is welcome to Azure AD Connect. So I'm going to agree to the license terms, click continue. Now, as I said, if you pick express settings at this point, you can't come back and customize. So I always recommend clicking on customize and just leaving it as it is and click install. And that's going to install all the components that I need to get this up and running. Now, while that's installing, I'll explain my topology a little bit. There are four servers here. This is my synchronization server. I've also got a proxy server, an ADFS server, and an AD server that's just acting as a domain controller and nothing else. Inside that domain, I've got about 20-odd users that are just Contoso users that I've repurposed for this account. And I'm going to be trying to synchronize those users up to the cloud and enable full federation to show you what it looks like and show you the experience that end users get, as well as showing you the experience you as an IT pro will be getting when you install this kind of feature. It always goes quicker when I'm not demonstrating in front of a live audience. Does anyone have any questions at this point while we wait for that to pop up? Yes?
So what's the relationship between the sync server and the domain controller? Can you put it on the domain controller?
What, the question was, what's the relationship between the sync server and the domain controller, and could you put it on the domain controller? The guidance from Microsoft, at least in the past, was not to put it on a domain controller. However, you can put it on a domain controller because I've done that before for test purposes. Does that make sense? Technically capable, but I'd probably spin up my own server just for that purpose. All right, you can see we've gone through to the next part of the wizard, and can everyone see that okay on the screen? At the back, can someone just raise a hand if you can see it okay? Thank you. All right, we're going to pick Federation with ADFS. Now, the choices are do not configure, which is kind of pointless, Federation with ADFS or password synchronization. Now, we're going to go straight to Federation with ADFS. And I'm going to enter my Azure AD credentials. That kind of moment of truth. Okay, that's connected. It's examining the domains I've got connected to the tenancy. Now, I've got mroads.net added as a domain inside the tenancy, which is why that's actually gone through and worked. As you can see here, it's picked up to the on Active Directory. I've got a forest called mroads.net. And what I've done there is I've just added the directory, the local Active Directory in with an admin user. I'll click next. It goes through, it retrieves the directory schema, anything else it needs to do its work. Okay, now you can see that mroads.net is a verified Azure AD domain. That's a requirement for synchronization to work. You need to have that domain up there. And I'm just going to leave it with default attributes for most of this, so I'm going to sync based on the user principal name. I'm not going to do any filtering, I'm just going to go very default here. And again, just going to leave it here, so I'm going, the default option of users are represented once across all directories. If you've got multiple forests where you might have multiple user accounts, you might need to change this option. And I'm going to synchronize all users, I'm not going to filter down at all. Now there is something I'm going to do here. I'm going to enable password synchronization. And that's for reasons I'll explain later. Okay, now we've got to the point where we need to set up the ADFS farm. So I need to provide a certificate. And as it happens, on the desktop here, I have a certificate. And you can see that's a certificate for ADFS.mroads.net, which is controlling what the endpoint's going to be. Now it's going to ask me for an ADFS server. So all I need to do is add an Active Directory join machine in here. So in this case, it's m209-adfs. And it'll go through and connect to the server in the background and make sure it can use WinRM to execute commands on it. Okay, that one's added. We'll go next, and it's going to ask me to add a proxy server, which is obviously m209-proxy. Okay, that one's done. Click Next again. As IT pros, everyone should be well capable of clicking Next, I'd think. Azure AD requires the emroads.net domain admin credentials, so I'm just going to give it domain admin account here. Now, obviously not best practice. I'd try to separate some accounts usually, but for this case, I think we'll be okay. Okay, now this is almost the last step. It's going to ask us which Azure AD domain we're going to federate with. And it's going to pick up emroads.net, hopefully. There we go. You can see the domain emroads.net is a managed domain and will be converted into a federated domain. User logons might be disrupted during this operation. And I've got start the synchronization process when configuration completes, and I'm going to click install. Now, that's it. That's setting up the synchronization service, that's setting up ADFS servers, that's setting up web application proxy servers. It even installs the roles for you. It's setting up the certificate for you, it's setting up the endpoint for you. Then it's going ahead and federating with Office 365 for you behind the scenes, or Azure AD behind the scenes. It doesn't get much easier than that in terms of setting up identity, hybrid identity. So we're going to let this go for a minute. We might go to questions actually while that's happening. If anyone has any questions at the moment, yes.
What prerequisites are there around the initial server builds for the ADFS and proxy servers? Is there any special requirements around DNS settings, IP addresses, etc.?
Yep. So the question is, what are the requirements effectively around setting this up? What are the version requirements? What are the DNS requirements? The version requirements are, if you want to do AAD Connect, you've got to do it on a server that's capable of doing ADFS 3.0, which means Windows Server 2012 R2 or higher. As for DNS, you're going to need a domain, obviously. Usually that domain would be very similar to your corporate domain. Whatever your email domain is effectively is what you're going to be synchronizing to. There is a bit of a prerequisite in that your user UPN suffix needs to match that domain. Right, so if you want to synchronize, that UPN suffix for each user account must match the domain. If it doesn't, it won't synchronize. Or if it does synchronize, it will go up with that mod272526.onmicrosoft.com. But as soon as you change that UPN suffix to match the domain and you do a synchronization, it'll just light up and work again. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess some sort of pre-question.
Sure.
So in the past, I've seen customers set up the proxy servers as an on-demand join machines.
Yes.
How does this handle the fact that those servers are on-demand join?
Yeah, I think the behavior is if you click proxy server and add it in, you've got to first off make sure that it's fully qualified domain name or IP address so it can reach it. And second off, it's probably going to ask you for an admin username and password. Yep. Any other questions?
So what about server 2016?
That's an excellent question, and it's only come out, a week ago? Yeah, it's hard for me to say. I haven't looked into 2016 too much, but I think ADFS 4.0 comes with 2016?
Yeah.
As a result, I wouldn't expect this works until a new build's been released. It may have already been released, so I don't honestly know. I'd be happy to check for you and get back to you. You've got my email address. All right, any other questions? Still got a little bit to wait. Oh, yes? Yeah. If you've got multiple UPNs inside your domain, you're going to have to pick one to be the primary and then set them all up as domains inside Azure Active Directory. Right? And you'll always have a primary, but you can have the secondaries, just like you can on an on-premises domain, as secondaries or email SMTP addresses or whatever you want to use them for. Does that make sense? That's an excellent question. What if you already have existing user accounts inside Azure Active Directory and you set this all up? Well, when you do it, generally, did you set them up as, say, a cloud identity only? Okay. Let's say you set it up as a cloud identity and you couldn't find any way to link back to Azure Active Directory, to your on-premises directory. What you'd have to do is you'd have to go through the MIIS client and do a hard match of user accounts. Right, so you force the matching between two unrelated accounts effectively. However, if you've used the same UPN suffix, it's going to be smart enough to pick that up and it's going to do a soft match. Right, so it's just going to match them automatically for you, no problem. Right, does that answer your question? I think it's a great question. I'd give you a prize if I had one. I don't. Look, what you should probably do is go down to the level below that showroom, just wander up to a vendor, tell them I sent you. They'll give you something. All right, that's still going behind the scenes. Does anyone have any questions apart from that? Otherwise, we'll click through. Oh, yes. So the question is, can you use MFA with ADFS? Yep, yes. Yes. It's going to keep redirecting. So if you're going to do that, MFA on Azure only works with the synchronized identity model, right? If you want to use MFA, then you need to download Azure MFA server and set that up on your ADFS server manually. And it's not terribly difficult to do, to be honest. Does that answer your question? All right, we're still going. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, I haven't tried. I only know a little bit about it, but you can use SQL like you would with a SQL membership provider to provide identities, in which case you just have a database with usernames, passwords, something like that. You connect to it just like you would with a database connection string, and it will, yeah, with the right query, pull out usernames and passwords and use those as an identity source. There's not too much to it, to be honest. I don't know when it's coming. Sorry, I can't give you any details on that. I think LDAP v3 is only just in preview now, so it could be a little bit longer before SQL comes out. Yeah. Still going. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. High availability of the sync server. So how do you achieve high availability? That's a really good question. Now, in most cases, the sync server is not considered a resource that needs to have high availability because the operations only occur on a schedule, right? So generally, you can recover fairly quickly if something goes wrong. However, if you've got a business with, say, 30,000 users, right, who are resetting passwords regularly, forgetting their logins, screwing things up, people are being let go, that kind of thing, you probably need more than that. You need to have some kind of high availability, in which case what you do is you spin up an identical copy of your sync server, exactly the same as you did through this wizard, with just a synchronization engine on it, and you put it into staging mode. And when it's in staging mode, you can put exactly the same configuration, you can verify exactly what's going to happen with previews, and you'll know that that sync server is sitting there almost identical to the one behind the scenes, and if something happens to your primary sync server, then all you do is go over to your secondary sync server and change it from staging to production. And just like that, you've got a highly available solution. Now, I say highly available, but you'd have to do something manually unless you're willing to script some kind of monitoring or metric that picks up whether or not the other one's down and cuts over. That would be fairly complicated, though. Yep. Yep, it'll have no problem with any of that. If you're going to go down that path, though, and I recommend this to all my customers who use any of the synchronization engines, make sure you have full runs running. When I say full, behind the scenes, the first time you run the synchronization engine, it goes through and it does a complete full run. It synchronizes everything that it needs to. But after that, it only ever does deltas. Right? It will only ever synchronize what's changed. And unfortunately, with these directories, you seem to get some kind of drift if you're only synchronizing with deltas. So to get around this problem, and I don't know why it occurs, frankly, but to get around this problem, do a full sync once a month or once every week, depending on your use cases. And that'll make sure that you're not getting that kind of drift going. Now, that's especially important when you've got a secondary server ready to go in staging mode, because if you haven't done full synchronizations on that server and you have on the other server, you're going to have a massive drift. And when you take it off staging mode, it's going to write a bunch of objects that it doesn't need to write straight up into Azure AD. All right, that's taking so long that I'm going to go back to the slides and we will come back to this. Okay, so what are the federation sign-in scenarios? Because depending on where you are, oh, I didn't get a chance to strike a dynamic pose. He didn't come back either. He was meant to come back when I said that. Okay, what are your federation sign-in scenarios? Well, you've got really three sign-in scenarios, and they depend on you, your workstation, and where you are. So let's say you're on the corporate domain, as in you're on a workstation that's joined to the corporate domain. You've signed in with your corporate credentials. Now, when you go to access an Office 365 resource, you're going to have a single sign-on experience, or a near single sign-on like experience. And the reason why I say near is some services need an identity to home in on. For instance, if you want to get a single sign-on experience, you don't go to outlook.com, you go to outlook.com/mroads.net, right? Because that gives you the scope of your identity for that service, right? Which means it immediately redirects you back to your ADFS servers, and that's where you can do your login. Let's say the next scenario is you're off the corporate domain on your Surface, but you're inside the corporate network, which means when you try to look up adfs.mroads.net, it's still redirecting you to that internal ADFS server, but you don't have a corporate sign-in. What do you think the experience is going to be? Does anyone want to take a guess? It's on the screen, so it doesn't really... You all win. It's NTLM, or a Windows authentication-like experience. So you see a login prompt, just an ugly little gray box with username and password. But once you enter that username and password, it's all fine. And the last one, and this is when you're outside of the corporate network, no matter if you're on the domain, off the domain, doesn't matter. If you're outside of the corporate network and you're using public DNS space and you try to log in, you're always going to be directed to a HTML login page. And the reason why is you're always hitting that proxy in your farm, in your federation farm. And that proxy will always serve up an HTML login page. So the users are going to get a different experience based on where they are. And it's important to know that, because some users are going to obviously need to be educated on this, especially if they're mobile users. Now, does everyone remember how, when I was setting this up, I ticked that box that said password write back? Password synchronization. Yep, password synchronization, sorry. I ticked the box that said password synchronization. Now, let's say I've deployed ADFS servers and proxy servers inside my own data center, and something goes wrong. There's an avalanche in a... You're in New Zealand, you get avalanches around Auckland, right? Yeah, that's fine. You get an avalanche, it wipes out your data center, and none of your users can sign in because your federation servers are offline. What are you going to do? Do you want your users to be unproductive? Right? Chances are, if there's an avalanche, they've got worse things to worry about. But the point remains that if you can, you'd like your users to be productive. So what you can do there is, using the password synchronization option, flick your domain off from the federated option back to the synchronized model just while your ADFS servers or your ADFS infrastructure is unavailable. And the result of that is your users can still sign in wherever they are. Right? They won't have an ADFS sign-in, they won't have a single sign-in, but they can get access to their services. And it's a kind of intuitive manner that they can get used to. And it's fairly easy to flick that on and off. Let's just see how we're going over here. It finished. Okay. I'm going to go through and click verify just to make sure it's all good. Okay, that looks pretty good. Now let's test it, because this doesn't mean anything if I don't test it. So what I'm going to do is, as I said, outlook.com/mroads.net. right? That's going to scope my identity. And what should happen is we should be forwarded straight back to an ADFS server. There is a caveat here, and that's behind the scenes. I'm really hoping that the synchronization run is finished, because if it hasn't, I'm not going to be able to sign in. It's redirecting. Look at that. That's set up my, I'm hitting my proxy servers. That, come on, that's pretty impressive, right? For 15 minutes. Now, I used to work for a consultancy, so next time a consultant comes in and tells you they can set this up in like 40 hours, just say, well, you know, 15 minutes, man, what's going on? All right, let's give this a try. I put in danj@emroads.net. Password. Nobody look at the screen right now. My printout has cut them off, so that's why. Let's just go back. Make sure I get it right, sorry. And it could be that it hasn't synchronized, actually. Or I was just typing it wrong. Okay, now, that's not my fault, I swear. That's coming up because the mailbox doesn't exist for that user account. But you can see it's logged me in successfully. If I went to a different site, such as portal@microsoftonline.com, I would get signed in. That would work first time. In fact, let's give that a try, just so I can prove it. My honor's at stake. Okay, so you can see I'm signed in as Dan Jump. Now, the last thing I want to do is jump back to the slides quickly. And actually, no, I'll do it in the demo. That way we can stay in the slides. What I'm going to do, you can see in this PowerShell thing, and it might be hard to see, I'll just crank up the size of this. Okay, now, has anyone got Federation and more than, say, 10,000 user objects in a farm? Nobody? Oh, look, there's a gentleman down the back that has it. Look, if you've got that scenario, you might be familiar with the fact that if you're going back from federated to the synchronized model, you know, if you have a failure of your ADFS servers and you need to cut back to synchronized, it took a long time. Has anyone seen that? Right, it's about 2 hours per 1,000 users, so it's quite slow. Fortunately, a new series of commandlets that's been made available, and that commandlet will go back from federated to synchronized like that. So it should be pretty easy for us to just type that in. And I'm going to disable all that hard work I just did. So I'm already connected to Office 365. I'm just going to make sure that I've got users synchronized in there. So, yep, they're all synchronized. And what I'm going to do is type in set-msil domain authentication. And I'm going to go authentication is managed. It's currently set to federated. Domain name emroads.net. And just like that, if we go back, you can see this domain here has been set to managed, right? It was previously set to federate, which means in theory, if I close this window and I try to sign in one more time, I'll just go to portal.microsoftonline for this one, and I'll enter danj@emroads.net. Now remember, when I hit tab, previously it was redirecting me to an ADFS server, or would have. And it's still doing it. My immediate demo hasn't taken effect, but you get my point. You can generally change these things pretty rapidly. It just might take 5 minutes to update for whatever reason. It's meant to be near instantaneous. Okay, so the question that everyone should be asking now is, now I've seen how to set up synchronized and federated, and I've seen cloud only, which identity model do I want to use? So when do you pick cloud? And it's pretty simple. When you don't have an on-premises directory. Or let's say you've got an on-premises directory and you're restructuring it, you're changing things dramatically. Or you're an Office 365 or an Azure pilot. Right, you just want user accounts, you don't care about synchronization, you just need to test a couple of users. These are the scenarios that this makes sense for. A big use case of this are born in the cloud businesses, right, who don't need a domain controller on premises. They can just have their user accounts out there, using them no problems at all. When do we choose synchronized? Well, when you've got existing user accounts that you don't want to have to necessarily give users a new username and password to use. You want to keep the same sign-on. When you want to save credentials in a Windows credential vault. When Outlook does not support single sign-on, so the older versions of Outlook don't support this federation, so you might have to use this model. And I think anything 2010 or earlier is going to be in that boat. This is going to be the recommended approach for most businesses. And depending on how we go for time, I'll explain why. And lastly, when to choose federated. Now, these nine use cases are the times that you pick federated. I say to my customers, if you don't fit in one of these, then you shouldn't be going to federated. It doesn't make any sense. So, if you've got ADFS already deployed, why would you, you know, even consider not using that ADFS endpoint? You've got the infrastructure there. It's very easy to use. When you've got a third-party identity provider, such as Okta or, say, PingFed or something like that, right, it makes sense to use federation. When you've got Forefront Identity Manager 2010 or MIM, it makes a lot of sense to use it then. When you've got on-premises integrated smart cards or on-premises multi-factor authentication. If you require, let's say for whatever reason you had to let a user go, the business has made the decision he needs to be let go right now, you need to cut his access right now, ADFS is fantastic because you don't have to wait for a sync. You can just disable their account and they won't be able to sign in. When you've got client sign-in restrictions, let's say your business who doesn't want your clients signing in after 5 p.m., you can do that with ADFS with the inbuilt Active Directory sign-in policies. When you've got a policy for, let's say you're a government department, and no matter what, your security guys say you can't do a password sync, then you kind of need to go to ADFS or they're not going to be able to access the services. If you've got a hybrid search set up for SharePoint Online, then it makes sense to go towards ADFS. In fact, it's a requirement. And the last one is just the most obvious one. If a business said single sign-on is required, you kind of have to go towards single sign-on or ADFS. And as I said, you can change between your models as your needs change. So if you need to, you can go from a cloud identity to a synchronized identity. And all you need to do there is deploy AAD Connect and do a hard match or a soft match of users. If you need to go from synchronized to federated, well then all you need to do is deploy AAD Connect. And you can leave password sync enabled as a backup if you want to. If you want to go from federated back to synchronized, that's pretty easy. You can see up there on the sheet, I've got the old commandlets, which were convert-msol domain to standard, which took 2 hours plus an additional hour per 2,000 users. Right, that's a very slow mechanism of cutting back to synchronized identity. That one is meant to be near instantaneous, so we'll see how we go with that. And lastly, if you want to go from synchronized identity to cloud identity, then you just run set-msol dir-sync enabled to false, and 72 hours later, you're cloud-only shop. But my recommendation to you is choose the simplest model that fits your needs. That's why I say for most users, it is going to be the synchronized model. Now, we've still got a bit of time, so that's fine. There's another reason why this is the best model. Federation requires on-premises infrastructure. Now, how long has it been between ADFS 3.0 and ADFS 4.0? 3 years? Yep. There have been a number of patches in the meantime, but the rate of change for on-premises applications is much, much slower than cloud applications, right? That's just the nature of the beast. So, if you want to get access to all the newest, greatest features, it really makes sense to go to synchronized, where they'll be making changes immediately to your sign-in experience. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So in summary, we've gone through a bunch of cloud identity scenarios, and hopefully I've given you the tools you need to pick the right mechanism to install for federation, for synchronized or a cloud model, to know the difference between them and to go back to your businesses and say, hey, this is my recommendation for our business. We've seen how easy it is to set up AAD Connect. In fact, 15 minutes to full federation and only a couple of minutes roll back to a synchronized identity, hopefully. And again, my recommendation, choose the simplest model for your needs. I can't stress that one enough. So with that, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to take them.